What's happening, basketball fans and fantasy freaks? It's Rick Kamla, Steve Alexander. He's the Hall of Famer, Dr. A. And we are Fantasy NBA Today Ethos After Dark. Here we are. All right? We told you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we were off for the election. But we're here with you the first four nights of the week, midnight style. And you're welcome, courtesy of Sports Ethos. So we're ready to have some fun. We got a lot of stuff to get to. We got some injuries. We got the slate, the three-game slate tonight. We're going to take a peek at Friday's game. Friday's games, we're going to do some buy high and sell low. We got a lot going on here tonight, and we want you to get involved, okay? Send your questions. We will answer them later on in the show because we're a community. We're all trying to win fantasy championships together. We're here for you, man. And before we tip things off, a quick word from our great sponsor, Bet Online. They are the world's most trusted betting platform, your number one source for online betting. From the earliest odds to in-game live betting, Bet Online provides you with all the action and the ability to watch games as they happen. Live betting rocks if you haven't done it. Go with the flow of it, man. Take some dice rolls. It's very, very fun. And they've got the largest selection of odds, everything from football, NBA, college basketball, NHL, UFC, MMA. They got it all. So head to Bet Online today to get in on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. Bet Online, the game starts here. We start, Doc, not with the magic man of the night. We've got a couple of pretty big injuries here to talk about. Tyrese Maxey has fallen into the Sixers trap. I mean, you can go back to Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. All of these guys, they just tend to miss big chunks on this team. Injured his hamstring Wednesday in the loss to the Clippers. And so here we go. It was initially reported he's out 2 weeks. Now it's been reported he'll be reevaluated in 1 week, which probably means he'll miss at least 2 weeks. And so he's out indefinitely, basically. We have no idea. This is horrible news for Tyrese Maxey, Doc. His game is speed. Okay, so it may take longer than normal for him to return than a less athletic point guard like a Chauncey Billups, for example. You know, a methodical back you down point guard, right? If his hammy like, and but Tyrese Maxey's boom, it's all quick twitch, it's all fast stuff. Okay, and so I want to start there and bring you in on this, man. But I'm bracing for an absence here and a chunk of this season being missed by Tyrese Maxey. This sucks, dude.
Yeah, it's tough. And like you said, I mean, I don't know that there's a lot more to say about it. Like that kid, I'm going to call him a kid, relies on speed. He's one of the fastest guys in the entire league. And when you watch him play, all you think is quick. He's quick. And now, you know, you got to put him on your IR. And it could be Reggie Jackson time, baby. Reggie Jackson reminds me of Buddy Hield and Dennis Schroeder. Like, he's never going to go away. And Maxey's going to be gone for 2 or 3 weeks. And guess who's probably going to get out there and run that offense? Probably going to be Reggie Jackson. Now, Kyle Lowry's there too. That's a two-headed monster. Kyle Lowry is probably a grandfather by now. He's so old. Like, I'm not touching Kyle Lowry, but I think Reggie Jackson, you at least got to take a look at him.
We almost always agree. Like, we usually – I completely disagree. And usually – this is a very rare vibe. That's why I'm bringing it up here. I'm kind of citing it like a play-by-play man would.
I like it.
But I just don't see that. I mean, I can see Reggie Jackson playing 20, 22 minutes or something, but I don't see him. Buddy Hield and Dennis Schroeder are top 30 guys. So I don't see Reggie Jackson. I don't even see Reggie Jackson making a spike to get my attention on the waiver wire. I just don't. I'm more high on Kyle Lowry, although, Doc, I'm not high on Kyle Lowry. Okay, the line's going to look like 8 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 3, and 3 for 9 shooting. Okay. That's what it's going to look like. That's not doing it for me. Doc's right. Kyle Lowry's ancient. He's a bench player at this point. Doc, it should be Paul George season. Okay. Should be. Who knows where his body's at after missing all the time? You mentioned minutes restriction for the other night, and so they got to ramp him up. But it should be Paul George season, okay? He should have some pretty massive stat lines going forward here. But that's pretty obvious here. A couple of points I want to make, Doc. Philadelphia is 15th in the Eastern Conference. I know we're a fantasy program here, all right? Fantasy NBA Today, Sports Ethos After Dark, Cam and Doc. But we talk basketball here too. Philly's 15th in the East, man. They're 1-6, and it just got tougher to climb out of this hole, even if and when Joel Embiid comes back. I want to debate with you, Doc, Oubre, Kelly Oubre, and Caleb Martin, okay? You know I'm an Oubre guy, and so he's already bringing solid, like, not he's not a churn and burn guy. Like, you roster him, okay? And so, but I think his numbers are going to get even better. You may be more on a Caleb Martin tip right here. So talk to me about Oubre and Martin, because I think both of these guys are going to eat a lot more with Maxey out.
No, I like Oubre better than Caleb Martin. They're both gonna see an increase in touches and shots and everything else. But I think Oubre is the more fantasy friendly player. Does this mean we're gonna get more Eric Gordon? Like, ooh, I don't know, man.
I always forget he's on this team, dude. I always forget that Eric Gordon's on. That's a good and call. That's a very good call by you.
The reason they're 15th is they had no Paul George to start the season. They had no Joel Embiid all year. And now that they're about ready to get whole, you know, the guy that drives the train is out. Is Philly going to be like Phoenix was last year and their entire starting lineup is going to play like 7 games together all season? It's hard to feel that way.
Yeah, look, it's very early with the George, Embiid, Maxey big three, but so far it's like the Durant, Irving, Harden big three. I think they played 16 games together. They were like 13-3 in the games where they actually played together, but it was either 13 games or 16 games. It was like a tiny number that they played together. All right, Cam and Doc here. It is Fantasy NBA Today, Sports Ethos After Dark. Thank you for staying up late with us. Holler at your boys. Tell them, hey, these fantasy OGs, remember we watched them coming up on NBA TV, Camel on the show, Doc Holling, Roto World fame, right? We're back, okay, doing our thing. Tell everybody about it, all right? Get them in here, the hoop heads. It's late at night. The football game is over. There's no hoops, okay? What the hell else are you going to do? Miles Bridges, Doc, has blown a tire. He is out indefinitely as well. Bone bruise in his right knee. Uh-oh. Reevaluated in 2 weeks. Uh-oh. So that means this is about a month or, Doc. When you get – bone bruises are very weird, all right? And so initially, if it's like day-to-day with a bone bruise, all right, cool. This isn't day-to-day. This is a week-to-week situation. And sometimes bone bruises are very deep and very, like, severe – and complicated, okay? And so keep that in mind here. This is not, you know, a turned ankle or this is a bone bruise. This could really linger. He was injured in the fourth quarter of Wednesday's win over the Pistons. It's a major buzzkill for Bridges' managers, but Doc, Bridges has already been a major buzzkill for his managers this year. 14-7-2, 1.5 threes, 39% shooting, and no defense, okay? He ranks 150th right now. So take it from there, man. I mean, he's already been a disappointment, and now he's blown a tire, Doc.
Yeah, he's like 13th round value before he was hurt. Now, I thought, and I've got a lot of shares of Miles Bridges, and I thought, you know, sort of like Ja Morant and Anthony Edwards, that Miles was going to come out and go off at the beginning of the season. Like, hey, my guy LaMelo's back. It's a new season. I put all that stuff behind me that I really didn't want to think about. And I'm just going to come out and ball. And he's kind of been terrible. Like you said, 14.7 boards, 2 assists, a half steal, a half block. And then you add in the 39% shooting, and that's just terrible. He's not going to shoot it that poorly all year. He's probably not going to play this poorly all year. Hopefully you have an IR in your league and you can just stick him there and forget about him for a few weeks. If not, I mean, I don't know, man. You have to hold on to Miles Bridges, right?
You do, absolutely. No question about it.
What if you're in a Yahoo daily lineup league with no injured reserve?
Well, then your league sucks. I mean, like, why wouldn't – I don't know any league that's operating that way.
Your league is stupid.
But if there was a league like that, I would have to gauge some things. I would have to like, how badass is my team? through 2 weeks, am I in first or second place with a great record and I can take a couple of hits? Or am I fledgling in around 500, slow start, and I don't want to, like, continue to take on water? Like, there would be – because if that were the situation, I may drop him, especially with how lousy he's been this year. But if I were really on the plus side, then you just have more luxury and more wiggle room. And so that's how I would gauge that if that were the scenario. But, you know, I don't think there are too many of those leagues. Doc, Brandon Miller, okay, who had the game winner the other night and a good stat line, is about to take off. And I believe that Brandon Miller right now, we'll see, but he's a more talented player than Miles Bridges. And I like Miles Bridges. He's a talented player. But Brandon Miller is like, you know, Paul George was his role model. He really reeks of Paul George on the basketball court. I just think he's got more overall tools. I think he can be a better defensive player than Miles Bridges. I think he can be a better shooter than Miles Bridges. He's just got a really pure form. Better playmaker than Miles Bridges. Anyway, I could go on and on and on. So I think it's inevitable that Brandon Miller becomes the number two guy to LaMelo Ball. Well, Bridges has stunk. Now he's out. Brandon Miller is ready, I believe, to take off here. So keep your eye on that. That's just speculation and theoretical stuff from your boy. Now to the brass tacks of it. We just told you, I believe it was last night, Doc, go ahead and send Trey Mann to waivers. He went 10-10-4 in his three games after, obviously, the great start with Brandon Miller back. Okay. Well, now Bridges has gone out. So once again, Trey Mann is going to rise. And so try to get him back on waivers, or if he's out there, scoop him up, because he's going to get back to about 18 PPG, and he's got a fun sizzle game, okay? And then, Doc, I think Grant Williams is now an attractive streamer, so take it from there, man.
I'm not buying into Grant Williams until he proves to me that he's ready to do something. He's been disappointing ever since he left Boston. I mean, there's no reason that Grant Williams should not be very good on this team. But he's just like the invisible man, like his teammate Mark Williams, that I could not pick out of a lineup, if you ask me to, because I haven't seen him in 2 years. And now Taj Gibson, of all people, is starting in Charlotte. The whole thing's just very weird. They're not going to win. They're not going to win very many games. And, you know, LaMelo's ankle is already barking. His dogs are barking. I'm with you. Grant Williams should be a good streamer, but I'm not. There's other guys that I'd rather go pick up than Grant Williams right now. Now, if Grant Williams comes out for the next two games and does something good, I'll go pick him up. But I'm not getting suckered into it until I see it with my own eyes.
So our producer Andre Lemouche asks, would you trade Miles Bridges for any top 100 player? Any top 100 player. All right, let me go to the top 100. I probably would. Let me go to...
I guarantee I would. I know I would.
I gotta take a look at this. PJ Washington, Tobias Harris, Rudy Gobert, Jimmy Butler, Tyus Jones, Klay Thompson, Miles Turner, Timani Kamara. I would rather have Miles Bridges than Tumani Kamara. I'd rather have him than PJ Washington. So there's your answer. I've already found two in the top 100 that I would not rather have than Miles Bridges. Yeah, a Kongwu to me is borderline.
I would trade Miles for a Kongwu right now.
You know, I think I'd rather have Miles Bridges than Santi Aldama at 86. You know, with guys coming back, double pinch it at Aldama's time and stuff. And I look at him as a bit temporary with the stats that he's got right now. I'm looking here. Like Jose Alvarado. Like, I'd rather have Miles Bridges than Jose Alvarado, you know, because Miles Bridges would be long haul. Jose's going to get it done here while all these guys are out. Go ahead.
But it also depends on how many injuries these guys that are watching us right now are dealing with on their team. You got two or three injured guys. You're out of IR slots. And there's a lot of people out of IR slots at this point. I mean, I'd start making Miles Bridges offers and see what I can get. If you need healthy bodies, trade it. Get what you can get.
I'm not mad at that, man. I'm not mad at that. The lily pad hopping that us fantasy managers do. He is Dr. A, Steve Alexander, FSWA Hall of Famer. I'm Rick Kamla. This is Fantasy NBA Today, Ethos After Dark. All right, Doc, let's move on here and talk about the Magic Man of the Night, and then we will get into the three Thursday games tonight. We got a lot of other stuff to do and to have a ball with the people. Get us started here, man. Who's your Magic Man of the Night?
Well, you'll be shocked to hear this, but I did not prepare one, but I have one. My Magic Man of the Night is a guy that I threw in my DFS lineup, even though I've never really heard of him before, because he started for the Milwaukee Bucks, Andre Jackson Jr. The kid had 4 steals, 7 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, a 3-pointer. Nothing great. That's not really Magic Man worthy, but Milwaukee got the win. He played really well. And with Chris Middleton being on the side of a milk carton, and I don't know when we're going to see Chris Middleton look like Chris Middleton again, if ever. Andre Jackson, a guy I think you got to think about at least putting on your watch list.
He started over Gary Trent tonight. Gary Trent's been to bad. Okay, this is the most random. It was a very random night in the NBA, but this is the most random Magic Man of the Night, I believe, that we will have all season long from either of us here on Fantasy NBA Today, Ethos After Dark, the midnight joint. Doc and Andre, I want y'all to mark this down. Our great audience, mark this down. Keep track. This is the most random Magic Man of the Night that we will hear all year, in my opinion. I'm not there with Andre Jackson yet. I'm not there. I know he had 4 swipes tonight. He had a 3 tonight. He's a very active player, and I know that Doc Rivers likes him. And so I've got my eye on him. I'm not ready to go down. Like, if Bob Carrington's on waivers, I'm laughing at Andre Jackson.
Correct. Me too.
You know what I'm saying? If Trey Mann, I'd much rather have a Trey Mann. Now that Bridges has gone out. I got my eye on Andre Jackson. I got my eye on him. I mean, if you're in a 20-team league, go get him, okay? Because, again, Doc Rivers likes him, and he's, oh, God, help me out. Wasn't he a late first-round pick? And so they've got that investment in him. But I know he's, like, you know, a homegrown guy, and they're trying to develop him and turn him into a player. So
he was late second.
Was he late second? I thought Livingston.
Oh. Round 2, pick 36. So I guess it was early
all right,
second.
Not first round pick. So all right, let's keep it moving here, Doc.
Who's your Magic Man?
Yeah, I've got Damian Lillard, Doc. I got Damian.
Oh, my Magic Man was the most random we're gonna have all year. Absolutely. He's the most obscure, scrubby guy. But if you played him in DFS, he kind of came through.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Look, I'm just banging on you, dude. It's all good.
You, no, you, I like it.
You, You can hit me with ball freaking ball, okay? He waved his towel 33 times. Like, it's all good. We're just having fun. Man.
I thought you might say your guy, Keldon Johnson, will double-double tonight.
We'll get to him when we talk about the Spurs-Blazers game, because I do want to make a point about him. But, and Doc, I'll keep the, like, there's no, like, fantasy takeaway here, okay? Damian Lillard is a all-time great. You start him every night and you reap in the stats, okay? But like that's what the Magic Man is for. It's just shine light on these guys, okay? Give them some dap. And we'll get into the fantasy spin in a minute here. Dame tonight, 34 points, 7 assists, 4 boards, 4 steals, 4 threes. Damian Lillard is killing it this year. And I understand the percentages are down a little bit. They'll correct. But Dame is back to Portland Dame, and that's what I want. That's what you wanted, okay? He's at 27 points. It was a 27-6 coming in, so he'll be at about 28 after tonight's performance. 6.7 dimes, cool. No defense, we're used to that. He's 4.6 rebounds, which is a real healthy number, and 3.9 threes. Now, he's at, 45% from the field and almost 90% from the line. But last I checked, his three-point percentage was low 30s. And it was kind of but he's been real hot of late. Let me check his three-point percentage here, Doc, real quick. But Damian Lillard is having the bounce-back year that we all wanted him to have. Yep, he is fully corrected here, Doc. He is at 39% from the three-line, 45% overall, 90% from the line. Again, I was high on Dame. I told you all to get him. I've got a bunch of shares of Damian Lillard. And, Doc, he's a fun roster this year. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I have no Damian Lillard. I stayed away from him last year. I didn't like what I saw last year. He's balling out. He's playing very well this year. Kind of sad I don't have many Lillard shares, especially – I mean, we're probably going to break this game down later, but the Brooke Lopez thing is concerning. Giannis is concerning. Well,
let's talk about it. Let's get into it, man. So nice transition. Let's talk about the Bucks slaughtered Utah. The Bucks now have 2 wins, and the Bucks are now looking down at Philly like, ha, you're in last place. Go ahead.
I mean, what's Brooke Lopez doing?
Brolo's not been good, dude.
It's been bad, and there's talk. Like, I just hear these things, like, they're preparing for a future without Brooke Lopez. I don't know if that's true or not.
I think it's true.
Feels like it is. Bobby Portis is playing well. Brooke Lopez, 1 point, 5 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, no threes. Like, Walker Kessler just owned him. And I've got a lot of Brooke Lopez.
Me too.
I don't feel good about it.
Me too. He came into tonight 1.4 threes, 2.3 blocks. So, I mean, those are still sturdy numbers, but less than 10 points, right around 5 boards. And so 10 and 5, I mean, that ain't getting it done. He's now, Doc, I think, whereas let's say, you know, I'm just making up numbers here. Let's say you've got a roster, maybe a Yahoo roster, and you start 10 and you've got 3 on your bench, right? And it's one of the, I'm just making up numbers here. And it's one of those like full NBA nights, like tomorrow night. And you basically all 13 guys are playing. Brooke Lopez now for me would be in that bottom 3 guys. Like you're probably going to have 10 like real solid guys. And Brooke Lopez to me is now an off night guy. Like tonight, okay, 3 games, like start Brooke Lopez. Tuesday night, he's a part of the doubleheader, start Brooke Lopez. But if you, on the huge nights, you're probably going to be better off playing an Austin Reeves over him, playing a...
Al Horford.
Good call, an Al Horford over him. I mean, I could come up with other examples here, but I think you guys get the idea. Somebody who's cooking at a higher level, because Brooke Lopez isn't cooking at a high level. But I wouldn't send him to waivers, though, okay? Because he'll be snatched up immediately, and if he suddenly hits a heater, you know, you're gonna be very upset with yourself. But just one more thought here on Brooke Lopez, Doc. Last year of his deal, he's 36 years old, okay? And last year, we started to see these signs. And so now that we're seeing this from Brooke Lopez, it's starting to look like Father Time is catching up to him, like it did with his brother, soon after winning that title with Toronto. And even as he was winning that title with Toronto, we were starting to see the law of diminishing returns with Marc Gasol. Still a good player, but not the guy he used to be. And so when you hit that wall, you hit it pretty quickly here, Doc. And Brooke did not look like Brooke last year. And now it's gotten even worse this year. So I feel like we got a father time thing going on here.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I'm not dropping Brooke Lopez yet. I don't want to drop Brooke Lopez. Like you and I both, when we were doing these shows a month ago before the season started, you and I both were like, I'm not gonna draft my backup center in the fifth round when I can get a Brooke Lopez later on. I'll just take Brooke Lopez.
Well, or Kessler. Kessler was a 7, 8, 9 round pick.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, Zach Edey, Brooke Lopez, Al Horford. Lopez has been the worst out of all of them, I think. It just is what it is. Hopefully he snaps out of it.
I think I'd rather have Lopez than Edey, but I do get your point. All right. Andre LaMouche wanted to know, should people consider buying really low on Brooke Lopez or stay away? My answer to that is, we're going to talk buy low and sell high in just a little bit. He is not going to be a part of that discussion for me. And I don't hate him, but he's not a guy that I would target to go get in a trade, Doc. How about you?
No, I've got him on too many teams. I'd be the guy trying to trade him. So make me offers for Brooke Lopez. Let's talk.
I mean, think of, like he is marketable because of the blocks. And a lot, like, here's the thing. If you want to unload Brooke Lopez, take a quick look around your league. You know the league. You know who blocks shots and who doesn't. There's probably going to be 4 or 5 teams in your league that have no shot blocking. Offer up Brooke Lopez for Kobe White. I don't know. Just throw it out there. Like, see what you can get. And I just literally picked a name out of my ear. But, you know, throw it out. Try to go get Josh Giddey for him. I don't know. Mix it up. But if you're not liking what Brooke Lopez has given you and you've got some other shot blockers, then shop his blocks and you'll probably be able to move him. Speaking of blocks, Doc, let's stay here on Utah and Milwaukee for a minute and then let's get to Minnesota and Chicago. I want to shout out Giannis and Dame because Giannis had 31-16 tonight. And last year they rarely had big games and were on the same page together. So they did that tonight. Lauri Markkanen came back, Doc, from his, how many games? 3 games that he missed with the back spasms, and he was terrible. He had like 8 points on 3 of 10. And so that's your boy, okay? Like, he's not my boy. I got no shares of him. So, like, y'all have fun with Lauri Markkanen, man. But is there anything else overall in this game, or should we move on to the next game?
Dude, Lauri Markkanen is right there with Miles Bridges.
He is.
13th round value. Ooh. Like 150. 18.7 boards. 0.0 blocks.
Ugh.
And I
dead to me.
The guy has trouble finishing the season. The Jazz are a tank situation.
They won't let him, but you know,
I don't like anything about Lauri Markkanen, man. I don't like anything about it.
Danny Ainge is like, yo, we're going to be doing a lot of golf in the spring in Salt Lake City because you ain't playing, homie. Cooper Flag, yo. All right, let's move on to Minnesota at Chicago. Weird game. First half of Minnesota was like stuck in mud. All right. Third quarter, they start making a move. And nip and tuck game. All right, here we go. No Zach LaVine again for Chicago. And Zach is torpedoing my 30 deep team. But Minnesota in the fourth quarter tonight, Doc, hit Chicago with a 45-24 fourth quarter. They scored 45 and outscored them by 21 in the fourth quarter. It was like, is Chicago ever going to score again? The point I want to make here, though, is you know, not to bang on Zach LaVine. My God, we've been down this road before, and here we go. He's already twice injured this year, by the way. Is Rudy Gobert. Doc, I'm not taking any credit, but I'm just acknowledging and observing the fact that we called him up yesterday, called him out, and then called him up, okay? 21-9 from Rudy Gobert. What? 3 assists, 1 block, 9 of 11 from the field. So, I don't know. Like, he didn't look washed tonight. He's looked washed a lot this year. And, of course, Nikola Vucevic is soft and cuddly like a teddy bear. Okay, he plays no defense. By the way, shout out to Vuce. He's been one of the best players in fantasy basketball this year, but he sucks on the defensive end. And so Rudy was able to eat here a very, very efficient night. And I got a lot of shares of Rudy Gobert, Doc. I tend to be a Rudy Gobert guy. I like that. I know what I'm going to get from him, right? 14 and 12 with two blocks a game. I'm getting 10, 10, and 1 right now, okay? So this was a very encouraging stat line as I viewed it.
Yeah. I mean, Rudy Gobert looked good. The key is the 9 of the 11 shots and the 21 points. Like, Rudy does not score 21 points very often. That was highly encouraging. And I think because Rudy kind of got off, this was the wrong night to do anything with Naz Reid. This is probably Naz Reid's worst game of the season. It's not a coincidence that it happened on Rudy's best night. And then we got the random out-of-nowhere double-double from Mike Conley. And then we got a nice counting stats game from Dante DiVincenzo. We had 13 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. But he only hit 4 of 13 shots, which is his shooting. He's one of the best shooters in the league, and his shooting is horrible right now.
He's out of rhythm, Doc. He's not comfortable. New team, new teammates, getting the ball in different spots. He's getting shots from different spots. He's not playing as much. And so now, and when you're used to getting like volume shots like last year, and now you're compressed and you're getting like very few shots, there's more pressure on each shot. It's a tough spot for Dante, man. And, you know, I faded him coming into the year for all those reasons. I would have faded him even with New York, with Randall and OG and Mikel and all those guys. I just didn't see a big year coming from Dante. Had the career year class. What happens after the career year? You come back to earth the following year. Happens every time. Let's move on to Portland and San Antonio. San Antonio got a very comfortable victory here tonight. And another ho-hum line from Wemby, 12-8, 2 assists, 3 blocks, 4 steals. Yes, we're spoiled. But Doc, here's your Keldon Johnson vibe. He had 17 and 11 tonight. And damn it, sometimes players are just talented and you like them and you don't want to drop them. That's where I'm at with Keldon Johnson, Doc. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just believe in this dude. I like Keldon Johnson. Probably the last round pick in most of my drafts. I've got a ton of shares of Keldon Johnson. I may have sent him to waivers in a league or two and then picked him back up and kind of play that yo-yo, but I have rostered him in most of my leagues. Knowing that 16-6 with 2 threes a game last year, that's who he is. And I don't know if when Vassell comes back, Doc, which could be Saturday, if you know, the love affair with Julian Champagne, who had another big game tonight, is going to like shrink Keldon Johnson and he's 13 points a game. Okay, we'll monitor that, and if that happens, we'll have different conversations, but I haven't seen that yet. And last year with a healthy Vassell, Keldon was able to go 16 a game with Wemby, with a healthy Sohan, and so I think that's there for him, but we shall see. But I'm a Keldon Johnson guy, man, and that line felt good. Watching the game, he was very active. He was making shots.
Well, I like the fact he played more minutes than 3 starters. Like, he used to start for this team. He doesn't start for him anymore, but I feel like they still kind of treat him as a starter off the bench. Like, he gets big minutes, and that's the key, really. Like, you got to be on the court to make stuff happen. Now, the 0 steals, the 0 blocks, whatever. The points, boards, 3s were all there. The minutes were there. Vassell coming back. Now that there's this Stephon Castle situation happening.
Good point. Good point. He had a nice game tonight. Like, you got the post-game interview, too. Like, it's happening, guys. It's happening.
Somebody's going to get squeezed.
Good point.
And it's going to be Champagne. It's going to be Castle. Or it's going to be Keldon.
Or it might be all 3 of them. Or Barnes.
Let's get Harry B. out of there, dude.
I don't think Harrison Barnes is guaranteed a 30 minutes. Tell me what you think about that.
He only got 24 tonight. Harry B is like an old cuddly grandpa. Like, he doesn't need to be out there chasing Wimby up and down the court all night. Like, Harry's like almost 40 years old. Let's let the kids play.
Harry B is cracking me up, dude. In your articles, do you call him Harry B?
I've always called him Harry B.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I love that. All right, so Doc, you and Aaron Brewski are going to have the full look ahead of Friday's games. Okay, they're going to do that tomorrow morning. What time tomorrow morning you guys hit the air here on the Fantasy NBA Today Sports Ethos podcast?
I don't know. I think it's like noon, 12:15, 12:30.
Okay.
You know, I just show up when my alarm goes off. I have no idea.
Okay. Cool. 12:30. 12:30. So you guys set your alarms out there and check these guys out. Andre reminds us that Harry B is 32 years old. So I'm quite sure he's not a grandpa just yet, bro.
Harry B.
Harry B, that's totally cracking me up, man. All right, Doc, let's get to buy high and sell low.
Castle for a quick second.
Yeah, go ahead. The floor's yours.
Do you love Stephon Castle?
I don't know. I would not say that I love Stephon Castle. I'm intrigued by Stephon Castle. The size, the defensive ability, the athleticism, the quick twitch. Actually, I take back quick twitch. He's kind of smooth and fluid. He's not really a quick twitchy guy. Doc, I'm not like, I love him. Okay. Like, I'm watching a lot of Reese Hachette. Reese Hachette's really freaking growing on me, okay? Sars flirting with a double-double with 2.8 blocks. I like it, okay? Clinging, okay? Barely playing. Every time he plays, he's doing stuff. Blocking shot. He's a stud, okay? I'm not there with Castle. I'm intrigued by Castle.
I feel like 2 years from now, Castle's going to be like a third-round draft pick in fantasy.
Wow, okay.
Like, I just feel like I've heard enough people who know what they're talking about how good this kid is. Like, it's coming. I just don't know when. He was way better than Chris Paul tonight. And what a great mentor for Castle to have, Chris Paul being there. Like, that's pretty cool. I'm not running out. I'd rather have Buff Carrington than Castle. We don't know what's going to happen to Castle when Vassell comes back, but I'm like you, I'm very intrigued. Like, I want to watch this kid play.
Just keeping my eye out. I'm on a Bub Carrington thing right now. I love me some Bub. Love the stat lines, man. And so, like, you can't get me off of Bub. Shaedon Sharpe came back tonight. We got to mention that, Doc. 13 points on 6 of 9 in 20 minutes. He was very sharp. And I guess pun intended. And just keep your eye on him. He came off the bench tonight. He'll probably work his way back to starter status. Chauncey Billups rotations continue to mystify. Okay, Scoot Henderson off the bench. It's like, what in the bleep are you doing? Just a quick heads up. Anthony Davis is going to play tomorrow. He's probable. Ja Morant is out, and Jalen Duren is doubtful. Okay. Three pretty big, like, injury things for tomorrow night. Davis is a go. Morant is out. And Duren is doubtful. So make the appropriate plans. All right, Doc. Buy low and sell high. It is Fantasy NBA Today here on Ethos After Dark. I want to start with Brandon Miller. Brandon Miller has a ranking right now of 155. Okay? This is even through the big game on Wednesday. 13 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. And it really doesn't get better from there when you go to the rest of the stat line. So, now we got the Miles Bridges thing going on. Are you buying low with Brandon Miller right now? Do you want to get in on him right now?
Yes. Yeah, and I mean, part of me wants to do it even if Miles Bridges is healthy, because Brandon Miller, I feel like, is going to get just a little bit better every single night. Every single game he plays, he's going to be a little bit better player than he was the game before. And by the end of the season, he's going to be good. But you throw Miles Bridges out of there, which he's out of there. It's Brandon Miller time. I'm all in.
Yeah, and I think you can go get him right now. And people are going to know about the Miles Bridges injury, but they're also going to look at, and you're going to have to go get Brandon Miller. You're not going to be able to send George Niang and get Brandon Miller, okay? Like, send him a good player and then watch the spike happen. But, 13-3-3, that might be haunting his current manager, right? Those numbers suck, okay? So, I'm not guaranteeing you'll be able to go rest Brandon Miller off of this dude's team. But he's a guy that I would target in a buy low scenario. Another guy for you here, Doc, Scotty Barnes. Okay. You got to get creative sometimes, and like really busy, really active, really badass fantasy football leagues. Okay. On the waiver wire, right? Like with running backs, you got to be a week ahead. You can't wait for the pop and then try to go get the guy, because everybody's going to be on him in waiver priority and you might not get him. But the week before, when the back has 8 carries for 47 yards, okay, with no touchdown, so kind of still under the radar, but you watch me like, dude, this dude was beasting out there. Pick him up then, okay? Then the starter gets hurt the next week. Your guy goes off. He's the talk of the waiver wire world, and you're like, I'm already there. So sometimes you got to get ahead of stuff, all right? And Scotty Barnes is that guy for me here, Doc. Right orbital bone fracture. This is not a season ender, okay? You got to wait a few weeks. It heals up. You come back and you play. He's probably already in the gym dunking and shooting and doing all kinds of stuff. And so it was like a three-week thing and reevaluated in 2 weeks. Like, we could get a report anytime here that Scotty Barnes has been cleared to play. He's coming back to play. So I don't think it's going to be that much longer that we get Scotty Barnes back. And so I would try to go get him now. He's on the shelf. He's in the INJ spot on the other dude's team. Try to go get him because Toronto's going to suck, but Scotty Barnes is going to come back and he's going to have amazing statistics. So are you with me targeting Scotty Barnes as a buy low guy?
I am. It worries me a little bit that he's never really, I feel like he's always on the cusp of being injured. And I like, Cade Cunningham, like, hey, this is great, but you're like waiting for the other shoe to fall. But I will say that every draft I did, if I didn't get Scotty Barnes, I was mad. I want Scotty Barnes on my team. And we talk about buy low, sell high all the time. I mean, you're not going to find Scotty Barnes at this big of a discount ever. Now is the time.
Bunch of great points by the great Dr. A. Steve Alexander, FSWA Hall of Famer. I'm Rick Kamla. Our producer, Andre Lemouche, along for the ride and doing a great job as well. Buy low, sell high. Tyrese Halliburton, Doc. Hallie, is at 16-7. Okay. He's a walking 2010 guy. We know this. He's at 16-7, shooting 39% overall. He's off to a horrendous start. People drafted him 7th overall, 9th overall, 8th overall. He was a back end of the first round player. Okay. The numbers have to correct. He's just not a 16-7 guy. And he's going to hit a heater and he's going to start having big games. And I'm just betting on him. Okay. I'm betting on the come here. I've seen guys have, lousy first months before, and then they click in and they just shred the rest of the year. I've seen it a million times, okay? So I think he is a perfect buy low target for people. How about you?
Yeah, I totally agree. I wrote about Tyrese Halliburton. Actually, I wrote about a lot of these guys in my ESPN column. Comes out tomorrow, called Risers and Fallers. If you play in an ESPN league, it's right there on your app. Tyrese Halliburton, Rick, is shooting career lows from both the field and the free throw line. 39.8 from the floor, 73.1 from the line. He's such a better shooter than those numbers. His career is 47.6, and his free throws are 85.1. So the correction, like you said, is coming. Like, as soon as his shooting numbers get right, everything else falls into place. And just like our guy Scotty Barnes, like, now is the perfect time to go get Halliburton.
Doc said it earlier, man. You're never going to find his value lower than this with Barnes. And I feel that way about Halliburton. And now we're in week three, and his manager might be getting antsy here. These stat lines suck. These box scores suck. I got to make a move here. Capitalize on that, all right? And remember, you're trading for a guy that was a first-round pick, so you're going to have to go get Halliburton, okay? But, again, it's a buy low, okay? So don't overpay for him. Just try to make a run at him, okay? He's pliable off of that team. Like, nobody's trading Damian Lillard right now. He's not pliable, okay? You're not going to pry him off of somebody else's team. You're going to offer a trade for Dame, reject, okay, because he's killing it. All right, sell high. Got two guys for you, Doc. I got Buddy Hield for you, okay? Buddy Hield right now is 12th.
First round.
12th in value. 12th, okay? He's at 21-4-2. One steal, 4.6 threes. The percentages are off the freaking charts, okay? 12th. But he's been very good the whole year, okay? But in the three games without Steph Curry, he was extraordinary, all right? So that billowed his stats, and that's a little bit artificial, right? His percentages are way overinflated. They cannot be supported by the back of the basketball card, and that's a big deal for me, even if you're in a new system and even if you're killing it and reborn and all this kind of stuff. The back of the basketball card matters. Buddy Hield is a 43% field goal shooter. 43. He's at 52. Correction coming. He is a 40% career three-point shooter, which is obviously very, very good. He's 51 this year, okay? Could Buddy shoot 45? Buddy could shoot 45. He ain't shooting 51, okay? So the correction is coming. The numbers are coming down. I'm telling you they are, all right? He's on a major heater. He's in a new spot. There's a honeymoon phase going on here. Try to sell high with Buddy Hield right now. How about you, Doc?
I don't know, man. I mean, if I drafted Buddy Hield, I got him in late in my draft. Like, I'm talking around 10, 11, 9, 12, somewhere at the end. And the reason that my team is balling out right now is because I got Buddy Hield paired with, say, Steph Curry and Jordan Poole, and we're just rolling people. And I like that feeling. I'm enjoying rolling people. And if I get rid of Buddy Hield, am I still going to roll people? Yes, he's a sell high. Absolutely he is. But I'm not. When I go to bed at night, I'm like, oh, man, I got to get rid of Buddy Hield before the bottom falls out of this thing. Because he's confident. Steph is into it. Steve Kerr is into it. There's no Klay Thompson. They need Buddy Hield. And one of our Ice Pick in Your Eye trivia questions 2 months ago was, what player has hit the most three-pointers over the last four seasons? Something like that. And it's Buddy Hield. Yes, he's so high. No, you don't need to panic and get rid of him.
I agree with all of that. I really do. And Buddy Hield is an attachment trade guy. You're not going to make a run at a big boy with Buddy Hield. You got to pair Buddy Hield with another solid player and make a run at a big boy. A Donovan Mitchell, a Devin Booker, like a stud, like a first or second round pick. Okay. Maybe it's Buddy Hield and another solid player, and you make a run at Tyrese Halliburton, okay? That's the type of deal I'm talking about here. You're not going to just ship Buddy Hield. It's a two-for-one scenario. Attach the hot start of Buddy Hield, another player, all right, that's pretty good, and try to bundle that and go get a big boy. One more sell high here, Doc. Dennis Schroeder. And I talk about this in my waiver wire article. I went into some different pop players and that kind of thing. So check it out. Sports Ethos Fantasy Basketball. Your boy Rick Kamla and Doc obviously writes articles as well. It's Fantasy NBA Today. But I got Dennis Schroeder for you here, Doc. He's 30th in value right now, going 23-7, 1.4 steals, 3.1 threes. Problem with Dennis Schroeder is, once again, the back of the basketball card does not support these numbers. He's, I think, a career high before the 1.4 is a 1.1. He's not going to average 1.4 the whole year, folks. He's at 3.1 threes. He's never even been close to that number for a season, okay? I think 2.2 is his previous career high. The numbers are going to correct. They are, I promise, all right? And we also have a couple of built-in potential buzzkills. Dennis Schroeder might be traded, okay? He's got a very reasonable contract. A contender may say, I want him, okay? Then he's going to go be a bench player and the numbers are going to vaporize. And if he stays with Brooklyn, he's a shutdown candidate, okay? And they're pretty good right now, right? They're off to a decent start. They're 4-4. Ooh, the Nets, okay? They may lose 20 games in a row here, okay, and get their Cooper flag on. So I'm trading I'm selling high with Dennis Schroeder here as well, Doc.
Well, I think we can sum this up pretty easily. I'm going to name a couple guys. Dennis Schroeder, C.J. McCollum, Norman Powell, Buddy freaking Hield, and Jordan Poole. None of those guys' value will ever again be higher than it is right now. They're all sell highs.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, there's your buy low and sell high. Check us out. Follow us on Twitter. Again, tell people about this, okay? We're trying to spread the word here. It is Cam, it is Doc, two of the goats of fantasy basketball, helping you win championships, okay? So tell your buddies, tell your coworkers, tell your family members, anybody that plays fantasy basketball. Yo, midnight Eastern, Monday through Thursday, you got to check out these dudes. And we've got all kinds of other podcasts at various times. So for Dr. A and our great producer, Andre Lemouche, I am Rick Kamla. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we want to remind you that our show is brought to you and presented proudly by Bet Online. I will see you next week. Doc will see you tomorrow at about noon Eastern with Aaron Bruschi. Until then, peace.